Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Chav Ches. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday at the four lines up on the bottom of Chazayin on the base. So if you recall, the topic that we were discussing here is the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman on whether Ovid Inish Din L'Nafshe, whether a person can take the law into his own hands and to enforce what he knows to be the halacha rather than going to Beis Din. And if you'll recall, we discussed the fact that both Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman agree that if there's some form of act of loss going on and that he's going to be prejudiced by taking the time to go to Beis Din, that in that case he does not need to go to Beis Din. Where they argue is if there's no real loss in taking the time to go to Beis Din, whether he could still take matters into his own hands. Rav Nachman says he can, and Rav Yehuda says he can't. So between here and the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss different rayas or discussing this issue of whether you could take matters into your own hands. So Masi Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asked according to Rav Yehuda, who says you cannot take matters into your own hands. Ben Bagbag says, Al tikanes l'chatzar chavercha litol es shalcha. You should not come into the chatzar, into the courtyard of your friend, to take what is yours, shalob rishos, without his rishos. Shematira alav kiganav. Why should you not go in without his rishos to take back your item? Because you might appear like a ganav, like you're stealing, and the fact that you're sneaking in undermines your case or your entitlement to what you're taking back. Ela shvara shinav, you should break his teeth. The emer lo, and you should say to him, shali ani nota, I'm taking what's mine. So none of this sneaking around, go right in there, knock him in the face, and take it. So this seems to be saying that you could take matters into your own hands. So Amar Lei, so this would be Rav Yehuda saying back to Rav Kahana, Imcha, which Rashi understands two ways. Imcha betmiya is like as a question, like Kolomer v'chinir beinecha shetshuva zu hagenesi. Are you suggesting that this is a good question on me, or it's a good version? Or Lishna Achrina, Rashi says Imach tehet shuva zu she'ena klum. Meaning this should be with you, this answer, meaning it's a non-answer. Meaning he's not impressed with his question from Ben Bagbag. Why? The Gemara continues, because he says, Ben Bagbag yechidahu, that Ben Bagbag is a singular opinion. He's just stating his own opinion. Upligi Rabbanan alea. And the Rabbanan argues. So don't ask me a question, Rabbi Yehuda would say, from Ben Bagbag, he's just a das yachid, he's a singular opinion, and I don't really have to respond to you. Rav Yane has a second teretz to why the memra of Ben Bagbag is not a kasha in Rav Yehuda. Why? Because when he says, my shvar ashinav, when it says that you should break his teeth, what does it mean? But then, you should break his teeth, you know, knock him out in Beis Din. But it means you take him to Beis Din. You don't actually take matters into your own hands. So the Gemara says, ihachi, if what you're telling me is that he takes him to Beis Din, then why does it say va'amar lo va'amrim lo mi ba'ile? That it says that we said in Ben Bagbag that you should break his teeth and you should say to him it's that I'm taking what's mine. So the Gemara is saying that if it's Beis Din telling it to him, it should say va'amrim lo, they plural say to him. Why is it va'amar lo, he says to him? Moreover, shali ani nota, because Ben Bagbag says you should go in, punch him in the face and say I'm taking what's mine. If by punching him in the face means take him to court, then shalohu notel should be Beis Din saying to him he should take what's his. It's not in the singular possessive, well, I'm taking what's mine. I'm sorry, shalohu notel mi boile. It should say that he's taking what's his. So the Gemara says, kasha. That's a good kasha on Rav Yanai. So we're left with, we have Ben Bagbag. The first teretz is that Ben Bagbag is a daksi yachid. The next teretz was that is not really telling us that you could break his teeth. It was just saying you should take him to Beis Din. And the Gemara has some problems with saying you should take him to Beis Din because the language doesn't seem consistent with that. But in any event, he's able to answer the memra of Ben Bagbag. Okay? Tashma, shor sha'ala agabi chaveru lahargo, uba ba'a tachto mashamet eshalo, v'nafal elyon umeis pater. So you had one shor went on top of its another shor to kill him. So the shor was attacking a shor by jumping on top of him, and the owner of the bottom shor comes, and he pushes out shalom. He takes his animal out. So in other words, these animals are one on top of the other. The attacker's on top. he comes to save his animal by pulling out his animal, which is the bottom animal. And what happens to the guy on top when you pull out the bottom? He falls on the ground. He falls on the ground and he gets killed. So the Gemara says that he's putter. So that's the case. It makes sense. If the guy's saving his own animal, and he pulls him out and the top one falls, he's putter. So the Gemara says, my love, b'mua deleka pseda. Aren't we talking about a case of a shar muad who's attacking another shar? And if it's a shar muad attacking another shar, you get paid nezek shalim. So therefore, we're setting this up as a case where there's no harm in letting your animal get killed. Big deal. Your animal will get killed, you'll go to Bezdin, and you'll get all the money back. So there's no real loss. So why is it that he's able to pull his own animal out and take matters into his own hands and cause the top animal to die? So the Gemara says, so it seems to be a raya that you can. In other words, he's still able to pull out his own animal, he's potter, so it seems you can take matters into your own hands even when you're not going to have a financial loss. So the Gemara says, lo, we're not talking about a muad, we're talking about patam, the ikup seda. So what happened? The animal that's attacking his animal is a shar tam. If he lets his animal get killed by the top animal, he'll get paid back chatzi nezek. So therefore, by not saving his animal, he's incurring a loss because he'll lose the full value of his animal, but it'll only get paid back half, and that's why he's able to fight back. So it's no raya that where there's no loss that you could take matters into your own hands. The Gemara says, if you're telling me that we're talking about a case of a tam and there is pseida ihachi, if so, ema seifa, I'll tell you the seifa, the second part of this. So the first part was saying, if he pulled his animal out from the bottom and the top animal falls and dies, he's pater. The seifa says, The second case is, instead of pulling his animal out from the bottom, he saw this animal attacking his animal, he jumped on top of his animal, so he went up to that top animal, pushed him off of his own animal, and the animal died, then he's chayev. So the Gemara says, if we're talking about a tam where he has a loss coming up because he's about to lose half the value of his animal, am I chayev? Why is he chayev? So in other words, so it doesn't make sense that we're talking about a tam, because if we're talking about a tam, obviously he should be able to push the top animal off, so it must be we're talking about a muad, and yet we see in the top, in the resha, that he can pull out his own animal and take matters into his own hands. So we're back to having a raya that you ought to be able to take matters into your own hands. So the Gemara says, no, we could still be talking about a tam, and therefore there's a loss, and that's why he's able to pull his own animal out. So okay, if we're talking about a tam, then why is he chayev in the second half when he pushes the top animal? He also has a loss, and he should be able to push the top animal. So the Gemara says, shahayelo l'shamtoi v'lo shamtoi. Because the lesser damage or the less draconian action he could take would be to pull his own animal out, not to push off the top animal. And so this is telling you, and this is very relevant to halacha l'maisa, that if you're going to take matters into your own hands, you can only take matters into your own hands in the way that causes them the least damage. So pulling your own animal out causes less damage than pushing the top animal. And so therefore, even if it's a tam, if he pushes the top animal off, he's chayev because he should have done the lesser action of pulling his own animal out. But in any event, we've established the case to be talking about a short tam where there's a loss, and where there's a loss, everyone agrees you could take matters into your own hands. So this is not a raya one way or another. The Gemara continues, Tashma, Hamamale Chatzar Chaver Kadeyayim Kadey Shemun, that if someone fills his chatzar, the chatzar of his friend, with pitchers of wine or oil, so the halach is, Bala Chatzar Meshaber V'yotze Meshaber V'nichnas. When the guy comes home to his chatzar and finds it full of pitchers or barrels, he can smash the barrels going in, he can smash them going out. So this seems to be saying that when someone does something wrong to you, such as filling your chatzar with things, that you're welcome to take matters into your own hands and smash it. So therefore, it seems that you can take matters into your own hands. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, when it says that you could break it and go out and break it and go in, what does it mean? Meshaber v'yotzi lebezdin, you could break it and go out because you're trying to go to Bezdin to assert your claim. Meshaber v'nichnas l'havi zuchu yosef, when it says you could come in and break, it's because you come back from Bezdin. Rashi says, for example, the guy claims, why did I fill the chatzar with pitchers? Because it's my chatzar. And the guy says, no, it's mine. I'm going to go back and get my deed. So he goes back into the house. So he's able to break. So therefore, what's it saying? It's saying that, why is he able to break? Only to go to Bezdin or to come get the schus there. So therefore, if he wouldn't be able to go to Bez and he wouldn't be able to show the deed, he would lose the property. So therefore, this is a case of loss. So it's not a raya to watch what would happen if there's no loss. And when it says he can break things, that's only as much as is necessary for him to take the matter to Bez Din. So no raya where there is no loss, whether you could take matters into your own hands or not. Tashma. So what's the case here? We know that there's a halacha, that if someone is an Evan Ivri, they work for 6 years. If after 6 years they say they like their master, then they go to Bez Din and you put his ear against the door and you take the marzeya and you make a hole in his ear. At that point he becomes a nirtza. And we know, when does a nirtza serve? Until Yovel. Now this guy really, really likes his master, or likes something about this setup. Comes Yovel, he's not leaving. And so the master is pushing him out the door. In the process of doing so, he damages him, and he says he's pater. So the Gemara wants to know, where do I know that from? So first of all, obviously this is relevant to us, because it seems that the master could just go to Bez Din and say, evict this guy from my house, but yet he's taking matters into his own hands, and he's not chayav for injuring the guy by pushing him out. So it seems you could take matters into your own hands. We'll get back to that in a minute, but the Gemara first wants to say, how do I know that he's pater? Talmud Lomer, because that's why it says in the pasuk, lo sikhu kofer la shuv, lo sikhu kofer la shav. So what's the raya there? Because there's a pasuk in Bamidbar which talks about the ear miklat, and it says, lo sikhu kofer lanus el ir miklat la shuv lo shevez baris ad mos hakoin. It says that you cannot take money from someone who ran to an ir miklat to return to his home. But rather he has to wait until the kohen dies. In other words, it's saying you cannot pay money to get out of an ir miklat, right? That's what it says, lo sikhu kofer lo shuv. You should not take money from him for him to return to his community. But the Gemara reads it, lo sikhu kofer lo shuv, that you don't take redemption payment for damaging someone who is a shuv, who's returning. Now Rashi says it's one of two ways of understanding, either that he's a shuv in the sense that he keeps trying to return to his master, or alternatively he's a shav because the halacha is that he should be going back to his family. Isha mashpachta tashuvu, he should return to his family, so we call him a shav. But in any event, you see that you don't have to pay if you injure the guy while throwing him out the door and he's trying to stay longer. So it seems that you could take matters into your own hands, even though there's no particular loss, because you could go to Bez Din and have them evict him. So this should be a raya to Rav Nachman's halacha that you could take matters into your own hands. So the Gemara says, no. Halchu b'maya askinan. What are we talking about here? Ba'avda ganva. You're worried that the Eved is a thief and he's going to steal things from you. So therefore, if you take the time to go to Bez Din, as opposed to pushing him out the door right now, he's going to take your jewelry. So then, obviously, that's a case of loss, and it's no raya, because in a case of loss, everyone agrees you could take matters into your own hands. The Gemara is not fully satisfied with this, because the Gemara says this doesn't make sense. So are you telling me this guy's been with you first for 6 years, then for some part of 50 years, and you kept him there that entire time, and all of a sudden you're worried that he's going to be a ganav? It doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, yes, that's exactly right. Because until now, he was your master. So you have to deal with him every day. He could punish you, he could do things. Now when you're on your way out the door, you say, you know what, I didn't really like you all that much. I want to take your jewelry, and I'm not worried because I'm not going to see you anymore. So the Gemara says, yes. Therefore, it's a valid case of where he could be having a loss. And if it's a loss, everyone agrees you could take matters into your own hands. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says a different teretz, that we don't have to say that the Eved is a ganev. And why are you able to push him out the door without going to Bez Din? Be'eved shemasaloi rabo shivcho kananis. That we're talking about an Eved, as we know, that if someone is an Eved Ivri, that his master can give him a Shifcha Kananis that he lives with, but then when he goes free at Yovel, he can no longer live with her. So what's going on? Why did the guy want to stay with the master after 6 years and after part of 50? Is because he liked the Shifcha Kananis. The problem is that at this point, he's usher to her, because he's no longer an Eved, because once Yovel comes, he's a free man. As a free man, he's not allowed to live with a Shifcha Kananis. So why was the master pushing him out the door? Because he didn't want him to do an Avera. If he would stay living with the Shifcha Kananis, it would be an Avera. And that's the reason he took matters into his own hands. Ad ha'idna hetera. Until now, when it was Yovel, it was mutter for him to be with the Shifcha. V'hashta Yisura. But now it's Aser. So what do we see? We see a yesod that if someone, so we've learned before that everyone agrees that if there's a loss, you could take matters into your own hands. We're now saying something else also, that if you're there not for yourself, you're not taking matters into your own hands for yourself, but rather to protect him from doing an avera. So if you're acting l'shem shamayim, then in that case you could take matters into your own hands rather than go to Bezdin, because there would be a case of an avera going on here. So no raya where there is no loss or avera going on. Tashma hamaniach zakah b'rishus harabim. So this is our mishnah. If someone leaves a pitcher in rishus harabim ba'acher v'nisko ba, and someone else comes and trips over v'shavra and breaks it, pater, he's pater. Now, this Gemara actually is going to be exactly the same as the one we had yesterday. So the case is someone leaves a pitcher in the Rishus HaRabim and someone else comes and trips on it and breaks it. He's pater for tripping on it and breaking on it. Time of the Nisko Ba. Why is he pater? Because he tripped on it and it's not his fault. It's not his fault for breaking it. Hashavra, but let's say he intentionally broke the kad. Chayev, he'd be chayev. So you see that people cannot take matters into their own hands. As Machlokas Rashi tells us, whether this is a question because they're trying to say that this is a case of need, a case of loss, and everyone says, and yet it says you're putter, yet it says that if you would break it, you're chayev, or is it only a kasha, according to Rav Nachman, who says you could take matters into your own hands? But in any event, the question here is as follows. It seems to be saying that if someone puts his kad in Rishus HaRabim, which is doing something wrong, you're not allowed to take matters into your own hands and smash it. So therefore, that seems to be a raya. So Amrev Zvid, we're going to say the same tirets as we said yesterday. Amrev Zvid, Mishmei Derava, Hu Adin Afilu Shavar. No, you're making a diak in the Mishnah that he's only putter if he trips on it, but not if he breaks it. The Gemara says, even if he breaks it, he's putter from damages. V'hai Dekatani Nisko, why did it say trip? If you're saying even if he intentionally breaks it, so say intentionally breaks, don't say trips. So we say, I did the Kabbalah Limitsni Seifa, since we wanted to learn the Seifa, which says, Imhuzak, if he's damaged by it, Bal Chavis Chayav Ben Nizko, that, so we're saying, the Reisha is, if he trips on, he's not Chayav for breaking it. And if he's hurt by it, then the owner of the pitcher is Chayav for his Nezek. The Dafka Nizko, because he's Chayav for the Nezek is only if you trip. Avol Shavar Lo. But if he were to intentionally break it, he would not be, the owner of the pitcher would not have to pay. Duhu Azek Nafshe, because he hurt himself. In other words, who asked you to smash the thing? So you're hurting yourself. So therefore, Katani Reisha Niskel, so we're learning the Reisha Niskel as well. So just to review that, in other words, the idea was, it says that if someone leaves his kad in Rishus HaRabim, if he trips on it, he's putter. The implication being, if he trips, fine, but if he smashed it, he'd be chayiv. So you see, he would be chayiv if he takes matters into his own hands. The Gemara says no. Whether he trips or he smashed it, he's putter. So if so, why did it say tripped, which will lead you to think that if he would to smash it, it'd be chayev? Only because it wanted to teach you the seifa, which added that if in the process of tripping over it and breaking it, he also gets hurt, then the balachavis or the balakad has to pay him. So, why is that only true if he tripped? Because if he went and took matters into his own hands, he's entitled to go break it. But if he were to go break it and get damaged in the process, the owner of the kad would say, well, what did you have to go break my kad for? I'm not paying your damages. But either way, he'd be putter, so it's no raya as to our question of whether you could take matters into your own hands. Tashma. Gemara says, sorry, I just lost my place here. Tashma, the katzasa is kapa. So we've encountered this pasuk a few times lately. It's talking about where two men are fighting and a woman, the wife of one of the men, reaches in and grabs the other man in his private areas, and because of that, it says v'katzasa kapa, you cut off her hand. And the Gemara learns that this is talking about mamon, and it's a payment of money, and it's payment for boshes, for embarrassment. Okay, but my love, aren't we talking about a case b'she'ini yichol hatzal yidei davar acher? Aren't we talking about a case where this was the only way she could save her husband? So her husband was getting banged and there was getting a loss. And so we learn that this is a kasha, whether according to Rav Nachman or according to Rav Yehuda. It seems to be saying, even though there's a loss here, that her husband is getting beaten up, it seems that even though it was the only way she could save her husband, she's chaya for reaching in and grabbing the guy. So it seems to say, even in a case of loss, you cannot take matters into your own hands. So the Gemara says, no, lo, sheichol lahatzal yidei davar acher. When is she chayav for reaching in and grabbing the guy? Only if she could have done something else to save her husband. But if this was the only way she could save her husband, then she's entitled to do it because you're able to take matters into your own hands where there's a loss. So the Gemara says, you're telling me that if there was no other way, when is she chayav, when she could have done it a different way, but if there's no other way, then petura, then she'd be pater. So you're telling me that in fact, where there's a loss, you can take matters into your own hands. If so, adetani seifa. I have a problem with the seifa of this brisa, where it says, v'sholcha yada prat l'shliach bezdin. So the seifa says, so we learn that the Torah tells us this story about the woman trying to save her husband. And it says, this is a case, the woman is chayav. The implication would be that there's some case where someone else is not chayav. So we say, what is that case? That would be shliach bezdin. So it's a halacha that shliach bezdin is not chayev for any embarrassment he causes someone in enforcing the judgment of bezdin. So the Gemara says, if you're right that a woman, when the Torah says, and she grabs the man, is only if she had no other way to save her husband. But if she had another way to save her husband, then she in fact can grab him that way. So then, instead of telling me, we see that there's a woman is chayev, but someone else is not chayev, and who's not chayev is the shliach bezdin. Instead of doing that, lifnug v'lisni b'dida. Instead, make the distinction within her. Say that when the Torah says that she's chayev for grabbing the other man, is only because she could have done something else. But which case would she not be chayev? If she had no other choice, and this was the only way to save her husband. But yet, from the fact that the Gemara goes out of the case of woman and talks about a shliach bezdin, the implication would be that this is not the case that the Torah is telling you chayev, even where there was no other way to save it. So the Gemara says, that you should distinguish within the case of woman and say, when do we say that the woman is chayev? Where she had another way to save him. But we'll distinguish within the woman and say that if she had no other way to save her husband, she's pater. So the Gemara says, Hachinami Kamar. That's what the Seifa is telling you. That's in fact what it's telling you when it tells you something about Shliach Bezdin. And what does the Braisa mean? It means, Bamed Varma Murim, when do we say that a woman is chayev for grabbing the other man? She's chayev because she could have done something else other than grab him there. But if she has no other way to save her husband, she can save him by grabbing the man there. And when she grabs the man in that place, nase yada k'shliach bezdin u'petura. That it's as if she's acting like the shliach of bezdin, and therefore she would be pater. So what do you see? We conclude that when it says a woman is chayev, is only if she could have done something less embarrassing. Mm-hmm. The fact that if she had no other way to save her husband, then she's allowed to do it, and she's considered the same like a shliach bezdin, and she would be pater. So again, no raya to our question of whether you could take matters into your own hands where there's no immediate loss. Tashma. Haresha haisa darcha rabam averes besof sodeyu, not love and nasan lahem min atzad, mashe nasan nasan mishaloi lo higiyo. What is this going about? Okay, so a guy had a pathway that everyone used to go on right through the middle of his field. And this is very annoying because you're trying to protect your crops, you're trying to do things, and you have people trampling through your fields all day. So what did he do? He took decided that he's going to get rid of that path through his field, and he's going to create a new path that goes around his property, so he doesn't have people going right through his property. So the Braisa says that what was his before he doesn't get, meaning he cannot prevent people from going right through his field, but the path that he designated, the new path that he designated for them, they can keep that too. So it seems to be like a case of almost like tmura. If you know by tmura, if you try to swap out the animal, they're both hektish. This same thing. He wanted to get rid of the path through his field, so he made a second path, and the Gemara is saying he can't stop people from going through the middle of the field, and he can't stop them from going on the path. So now they got both paths. But the way the Gemara is understanding this initially is as follows. The Gemara is understanding that from the fact that people are allowed to use the new path tells you that his swap was valid, the way the Gemara understands it initially. So therefore, we see that he now owns the field that goes through the middle of his property, and the public owns the field that goes around his property, And yet we see that he cannot stop people from walking through his property. So what do you see? You see that you cannot take matters into your own hands. Because even though he now took ownership of this field that goes right through his property, he cannot prevent people from going on the path in it. So this seems to imply that you cannot take matters into your own hands. The Amrit, if you're going to say, Avad Inishin Lanafshe, a person can take matters into his own hands. Linkat Parza Velasiv. Let him take, Rashi says, a makal, a stick, and sit there and whack anyone who comes on this path that goes through the middle of the field. Because if his designating the new field on the side gave him ownership of the path that goes right through the middle, let him stop people from coming. The fact that he can't stop people seems to imply you cannot take matters into your own hands. What? If they don't want to listen to the sign, they can walk through it. So what we're going to see, what the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. So that's how we're understanding. So the Gemara is going to give several answers. Amrev Zvid Mishmei Derava. And all the answers basically say that the reason that he cannot stop them is not just because he can't take matters into his own hands. Amrev Zvid Mishmei Derava. Gzera Shem Yitin Lehem Derech Akloson. That the Chachamim made a gzera that said that you cannot swap properties, because you cannot swap paths, because we're worried that maybe if we let people do that, he's going to give them a junky path and he's going to take a good path. In other words, they have a good path going right through the middle, and he's going to give them a slanted or a crooked path, a bad path. So therefore, the way we're understanding is that Chazal were saying you cannot take ownership of a path that belongs to the public. So the reason he cannot stop people from going through the middle path is because he doesn't take ownership, because Chazal made a gzera that you cannot take ownership of a public path. Now the Gemara is going to ask, well, okay, fine, but if you're saying he doesn't take ownership of the field through the center, why are the people allowed to take the field around the side? But the first teretz is, the reason he can't stop people from going through the middle path is because he never took ownership of it, because Chazal don't let you take ownership because they're worried that you're going to give them a bad path. Rav Misharshi says, "Benosin lahem derech haklosan." When the Braisa says that you cannot stop people from going to the middle, is the specific case where he in fact gave them a bad path. If he gave them a bad path, then he cannot prevent them from going on the old path. But if he gave them a good path going around his property, in fact, he would be able to stop people going through the middle, according to Rav Misharshi. So then obviously, if people still insisted on going through the path, he would be able to hit them with a stick, because you are allowed to take matters into your own hands as long as he gave them a good path. Rav Ashi says, Kol menatzad derech hakolosin hu. He says, no, Rav Ashi says much like Rav Zvid Mishmei Derava, but instead of saying a gzera, he's saying it's just a fact. You cannot swap out one path of the public for another path. Why? Because you're always giving someone a bum deal. Because, if you have a path going here, right, so if you move it over to here, then those who are coming from this way have to go further to get back where they were going. So you're hurting some people. No matter which way you move it, you're making it easier for some people and harder for others. So that's why we don't allow you to swap the field. If we don't allow you to swap the field, that is why you don't take ownership of the center path. And that's why you can't take matters into your own hands, because you don't own it. So just to be clear, we have three terutzim. One is that it's a gzera. One is that the case is specifically where you gave a bad path. And the third is that it's always a bad path. So let's think about each one. So in the first case where it's a gzera, we're saying you cannot take ownership of a public path. So that's why you cannot stop people from going on the middle path, because it's not yours. So there's no raya about taking matters into your own hands. You can't stop people because Chachamim didn't let you take ownership of it. The second one says you do own the middle path as long as you gave a valid path around, and therefore you could stop people. So you see, you can take matters into your own hands. And the third opinion says any time you try and move a public path, you're inconveniencing someone, therefore you cannot move a public path, and that's the reason you can't stop people from going on the middle path, is because it's not yours. When you tried to swap it, it didn't work, and we don't let you take over a public path. So the Gemara says, okay, but Ihachi, if you're telling me the reason in the first and third case why you cannot prevent people from going through is because you never took ownership of this middle path that you tried to switch ownership of, Amai Shalolo Higio, technically speaking, it should ask, Masha Nasa Nasa. In other words, so the question really is, so if you're telling me he did not take ownership of this path that goes through the middle, so fine, he didn't get ownership of that, but then he should be able to take back the new path that he designated. So why do you say that he, even the new path that he designated has to, people could still use, and he's messed over? Let him say to them, Shakuli didchu v'havali didi. You're telling me that in the first and third case, I'm not allowed to take ownership of a public path, and that's why I can't prevent people from going through, so fine. So I didn't take ownership, but now let me take back the path that I gave around the side, because if you didn't, I only gave it so that I could get the middle path. If I can't get the middle path, then I didn't mean to give it to you, and it's a mekach tov. So the Gemara says, why do we say that even though he could not take ownership of the middle path, that he still loses rights to the side path? Mishum de Rav Yehuda, because of the memory of Rav Yehuda, Dam Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Meitza shechziko bo rabim, asur lekalkalo. That if there's a pathway that the public started using, you cannot get rid of it. Basically, once there's a public path going through, you can't get rid of it. And some understand that he should have consulted before he tried to do a swap, and that's why he loses both. So he does not take ownership of the center path, and he loses the side path that he gave them. But in any event, none of this proves anything about taking matters into your own hands, because we assume that where he validly took, according to the second territory, validly took possession of the middle path, he can, in fact, prevent people from coming. And when it said you can't, was only where he did not get possession. Now, if he did not get possession, the fact that you cannot stop people is because it's not yours. It's nothing to do with not being able to take matters into your own hands. So therefore, we have no raya whether you can take matters into your own hands or not. Tashma.
Even in that case, the other path, the rabbi would get the other path.
In which case?
In the middle case.
No, in the middle case, what happens is, in the middle case, it's saying this halacha that he can't stop people is not true, and rather he can stop people because he now owns the middle path, and the public owns the side path. So he's saying if he would give him a valid path that's not a bad path, he would, in fact, the swap would work. They have to go to the side, and he can prevent people from going through the middle. He's saying the halacha that you cannot prevent people from going through the middle is only if you gave them a junky path, in which case the swap doesn't work.
The Brisa is saying in that case that...
He's saying the Brisa is talking specifically in a case where you gave a bad path.
Right,
but if you,
in that case it's saying... Yeah.
Oh, so if you gave a bad path, then you would have both.
Right.
And he can't, but therefore the swap does not happen. And he loses the side one, because once the Rabbim goes there, then you lose rights to that. Okay. Tashma. Baal Baya Sheniach Peya Mitzad Echor, Ubo Ani V'Natlu Mitzad Acher, Zev Zev Peya. So what's the case? Peya, we know, is you leave the corner of the field for the Aniyim. So let's say he left the northwest corner for Aniyim. And for whatever reason, the Aniyim came along and thought it was the northeast corner for Peya, and they took the produce from the northeast corner. So the Gemara says, Zev is that payah, they're both payah. So we initially understand this to mean that the Aniyim took the northeast corner, and now because he had made the northwest corner payah, they could come and take that too. The Gemara says, V'yamrit, if you're going to say, Avedin Ishtinu Nafshe, Amai Zev is that payah, Linko Pazer V'lesiv. He says, if you're going to tell me that people could take matters into their own hands, the Gemara assumes as a Davar Pashat, if the Aniyim went and took the northeast corner, The ownership of the northwest corner reverts back to the owner because they took the payah somewhere else. So you should get it back. And if it says, Zev is that payah, and people could go, why not take matters into your own hand and say, I know I gave the northwest corner, but once the Aniyim took the northeast, I took back possession of the northwest, and if you come to take payah, I'm going to sit there with a stick, and I'm going to prevent you. And from the fact that it says, Zev is that payah, implies you cannot take a stick and take matters into your own hands. Amar Rava, Rava says, no, it's true. He can prevent people from going in the northwest corner. And when it says Zev is Epeya, it doesn't mean that the Aniyim can come take the northwest corner also. They only are allowed to take the northeast corner that they appropriated for themselves. My Zev is Epeya, what does it mean when it says they're both Peya? The Potrim and a Meiser. It's only to tell you that there's a unique quirk here. So in other words, an owner of a field, separate from Peya, has to give Meiser to the Levi, right? But you don't have to give Meiser from something that's Peya. So he's saying as follows, I designated the northwest corner Peah. Okay, before anyone took it, the Aniyim thought it was the northeast corner, so they now take the northeast corner. So now I'm finished with giving Aniyim Peah. They're not entitled to take the northwest corner, but ironically, because I had made it Peah, and then, which means I had at some level been mafker to Aniyim, and then it turns out that I get it back because Aniyim took something else, even though even though the peah in the northeast corner did not have maaser, I don't need to give maaser from the northwest corner either. Why? It's a quirk, because once you are mafkir something at some level, it loses the chiyuv of maaser. So it's not telling you that aniyim can come take it, because if so, you should say, I should take matters into my own hands and prevent them. You can take matters into your own hands and prevent them. When it says harei zeh peah, it's just to tell you that it's peah in as much as now when he keeps it, he doesn't need to take maaser. Kedisanya, like we learned in a brisa, hamafkir is karmo. V'hishkin baboker, batzro, chaya beperitiv oilos of a shichol bepeah, upater min hamaaser. So what's the case? That if someone was mafkir his vineyard, and so he went to sleep at night, he said, I'm mafkir my vineyard. But he didn't tell anyone. Then in the morning, he comes and says, oh, there's a hefker vineyard, I'll take it. At that point, and he thinks he can get away with not doing perit, olos, shichol, and peah, which are all gifts for the poor. So the Gemara says that no, in that case, he does not get away with that. And Rashi says, because there's the extra word in the pasuk to tell you that even in this case, he still needs to give perit, olos, shichol, and peah. But by meiser, it's not written that same extra word, and therefore that actually works. So if someone wants to trick the Levi, he can be mafker his field, he could come back in the morning and reacquire it, and then he's pater from meiser. So what do you see? You see that even when there's a weak hefker of a property, it loses the chiyah for meiser. So therefore, when he made the northwest corner peah, even though it subsequently reverts to him because the aniyim chose to take peah somewhere else, it's still pater from meiser because it had some element of hefkeris for that brief period that he called it peah till it reverted back to him because they chose to take it from elsewhere. Okay, says the Mishnah about Amud Aleph. Nishbra kado Rishus Arabim. So he had a pitcher that broke in Rishus Arabim. V'huchlek echad b'mayim. Oshalaka b'charasis. And someone slipped on the water or got hit by a piece of the broken pitcher. Chayev. So it's saying that, and we're gonna see in the Gemara, we're gonna discuss in great detail what each of these clauses mean. Rabbi Yehuda says, not so fast. Bimiskaving, when do we say chayiv is where he had intent to do it? We'll see what intent to do it means. Beinamiskaving, but if he did not have intent, then he's putter. Okay. So, I'm gonna try something here for a moment, because I hope it'll make it easier to understand the Gemara. Just a few very simple principles in bar, some of which we've encountered in the past, some distant past. So we'll go over them. So in other words, the first thing is, when you have a bar min haTorah, there's a limud, because the pasuk says, ki yiftach ish bar, ki yichri ish bar. If a person opens a bar, or he digs a bar, and he doesn't cover it, and there falls into v'nafal shama shor chamar, an ox or a donkey falls in. There's a limud that says, Shor, he's chayiv if a shor falls in, shor velo adam, but not if a person falls in. Chamor, when it says he's chayiv for a chamor, velo kalim. So there's a limud that a bar, if a person falls in or kalim fall in, that the owner of the bar is not chayiv for that. Now, this is only if the man dies. If he gets injured, then that's not relevant, then it's not a patur, and he's in fact would be chayiv. Why? Because the pasuk says, the pasuk which is talking about our bar, talks about a mace yellow, and the mace is his, so it's talking about the animal falls in. So you see, it's talking about a case where the animal dies. So therefore, it has to be a parallel case where the person dies. So when it says, shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kalim, that a person or kalim are not chayev, is saying that if a person falls in and dies, or an object falls in and dies, he's pater. If the person falls in and gets injured, then he's chayev. Now, if a keli falls in and gets injured, there's no such thing, because what happens to a keli when it falls in? It breaks. So therefore, its injury is its shvirasa. So therefore, that's a case where you would anyway be putter. So in all instances, you're putter for kalim that fall in, and you're putter if a man falls in and dies, but you're chayav if a man falls in and gets himself injured. That everyone agrees with. Okay, now we're going to have three machloksim between Rav and Shmuel, which are not entirely related, but they're going to come into play in trying to understand this Mishnah. The first is a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, which we're going to get to in a couple of weeks, which is that Rav is of the opinion that if a person falls into a bar and smashes himself on the ground, he's not chayev. The owner of the bar is not chayev. Why? Because what killed the guy? What killed the guy was the ground. The ground doesn't belong to him. So even though he dug this pit, at the end of the day, what killed the guy is the ground. The ground is not his. and therefore he's not chayev. Shmuel's of the opinion that no, if you fall, even though the ground is karka olam, since you caused that karka olam to be exposed, you're chayev if you fall there. That's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel on daf nun, I think.
It's a bor b'shus
harav,
right?
A bor b'shus harav. Yes. So, and that's correct. Now, that there's an outcome, the second machlokas really is just an outcome of that. So if Rav holds that when you fall on the ground, you're not chayev for falling, then the question is, the Torah tells you if you dig a pit and someone falls, you're chayev. So what are you chayev for if you're not chayev for damage caused by the ground? Which is why Rav says generally that what you're really chayev for is the hevel, the air in the pit somehow causes the damage. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel says you're chayev whether the air causes the damage because you exposed the air or the ground. So either one. So that's kind of a corollary of their machlokas.
What about the sides?
The sides are also the same thing. It's karka olam, it's not his. So if it bangs against the sides, it would to be dependent on that machlokas. Now, there's another major machlokas which we actually encountered on Daf Gimel, which is Rav and Shmuel, which is the following. Everyone agrees, the Torah discusses, if you dig a pit in Rosh HaSarabim, that you are chayev for digging that pit. Now, what is the case? It's the Rosh HaSarabim. You have no right to dig a pit in the middle of the Rosh HaSarabim. So the prototypical case of bar is something that belongs, is hefker. It doesn't belong to anyone, right? So therefore, so the question that Rav and Shmuel argue about is, what happens if you dig a bar in your own property, and then you're mafkir the property, but not the bar? So now you own the bar. Or, to put this in different terms, let's say you take Avno Sakinu Masai, which we learned on Daf Gimel, a knife or a bag, you put your backpack in the middle of Rosh HaSarabim, and someone trips on it. So according to Rav, that's not a prototypical case of bar, because bar is something that is ownerless. It's Rosh HaSarabim, you dug. And therefore, in any case, if you are mafkir your land but not the bar, that's not a case of bar. Or if you stick your knapsack in Rosh HaSarabim, someone trips, that's not bar according to Rav. He holds that would be shor. It's a case of your mammon. It's a case of your property damaging. That's not the case of bar. Shmuel is of the opinion that if you were to dig a pit in your own property and then be mafker the land but not the pit, that would be covered by the Torah, and therefore you have a case in the Torah where a bar causes damage even though it's owned. And the corollary of that is Shmuel would say that if you stick a knapsack in the middle of Rosh HaSarabim and someone trips on it, it's a case of bar and not a case of shor. What's the difference whether it's bar or shor? Lots of differences, but a simple one would be, let's say Kalim get damaged tripping over this backpack. According to Rav, it's a case of shor, and shor you're chayev for Kalim getting damaged. If you hold it's bar like Shmuel, Kalim are not chayev in a case of bar. So that's it's a big difference. Okay, so several machloksim, we're going to see that this relates to how they have to explain our Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ela Shetinfu Kalev B'mayim. That we're talking here, the only case where we can understand, the only way we can understand this case is that when it says that the guy slipped on the water, it has to be where he got damaged by the water. How did he get damaged by the water? Because his clothing got dirty. Now why can't he say that it's talking about a case where he slipped on the water and banged onto the ground? Because Rav's of the opinion that that's karka olam, that's land that doesn't belong to him, right? Aval hu atzmo on the base, aval hu atzmo putter, aval hu atzmo, but if he himself were to get injured and fall on the ground, putter, he'd be putter because karka olam has he kasa, because it's only the land that caused him this damage. Okay, so that's Rav's halacha, because that's consistent with the things Rav told us, is that it has to be where he's damaged, not by the land, by the water, and therefore it has to be where his clothing got dirty. Kamrisa kameh deShmuel. Rav Yehuda says, when I said this halacha of Rav in front of Shmuel, Amar li, and we know that Shmuel is the one who argues with Rav, he said to me, Michti, let's see, Avna sakinu masoi mi baru lamadnu, that if someone leaves his stone or his knife or his load in Rosh HaSarabim, that's a case of bar. And because it's a case of bar, I would apply the exclusion of Sharvala Adam Chamarvalo Kalim. So therefore, when I put the backpack there, it has a halach of Sharvala Adam Chamarvalo Kalim. Vahani mili le'inyin ketala. This only relates to when someone dies, because it says Amesi Yelo. So the halach of Sharvala Adam only applies when he dies. Aval le'inyin nizakin, but as relates to damages as opposed to death, Adam Chayev, the Kalim Peturim. So that's exactly what we talked about before. the person is chayev because it's the exclusion of shor v'lo adam does not apply by injury, it only applies by death. So that's why, so when can you be chayev for someone tripping is if the person gets injured. The kalim peturim, but kalim are pater. Why? Because it says chamor v'lo kalim if it's a bar, if it's death. And since for kalim, death or injury are the same thing, so you're always pater for kalim. So therefore, Shmuel cannot explain the case to be where his clothing got dirty, because clothing are kalim. And Shmuel understands when you put something in Rishus HaRabim and you're not mafker it, you're chayev, that's a case of bar, and therefore you're not chayev for kalim. So the person is not chayev if his clothes get dirty. So rather, what would be the case where our Mishnah says he's chayev is for the person himself gets injured. So the water's on the thing, the person comes and slips, he falls, he bangs himself on the ground. That's the case Shmuel would understand of our Mishnah, and because of the things we discussed, they each have to say that way. So what would Rav say back to you? Rav would say back, Hani mili heichad afkarinu. You're right. When does the halacha apply of shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim is in a prototypical case of bar, where you're mafker the things, and it's ownerless just like a bar. Aval heichad lo afkarinu mimonohu. But in a case where you were not mafker it, it's your possession, and you're chayev midin shor, and there's no exclusion for kelim. So therefore, in this case, the water spilled, the person was not mafker his water, Rashi says, and therefore, when someone falls, because he was not mafker, it is not a bar. If it's not a bar, it's a case of shor. If it's a case of shor, you are chayev for kalim, and there's no exclusion for kalim. So they're each going to explain it that way. Rav is going to explain that he injured, that his clothing got dirty, because it has to be a case of kalim, because it's a case of shor. And Shmuel is going to say the person got injured, because if it would be kalim, it's a case of bar, and you're not chayev for kalim, whether it is injury or death. Okay. Masa Rav Yoshio. Rav Yoshio asked as follows. V'nafal shama shor achamor. So we're going to learn what we just said, that a shor achamor falls there. Shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim. That therefore we see that you're not chayav for adam or kelim. Mikan amru. From this they said, nafal atochel shor v'kelov v'nishtabru. That if a shor with its pack, or its kelim on its back, and it got broken, chamor v'kelov v'niskaru, or if you had a chamor with its blankets and it got ripped, meaning things that are on top of the animal, chayev ala behemo pater ala kalim. So this is a classic case that when the shor falls in, you're chayev for the shor, you're pater for the kalim. Palumad domo, what is this similar to? And I'm finishing 1 minute. He says, to what is this similar? La'avna sakinu masoi shenichum rishus harabim. So just like a regular case of bar would be a case of evan, sakin, and maso that you left in rishus harabim veziku. So the Gemara interrupts for 1 second. It says here, why are you telling me that what is bar similar to its bar is similar to avna sakinu masoi? Adarabba. And the Torah talks about a bar. So don't tell me bar is similar to Evan Sakin and Maso. It should be Evan Sakin and Maso are similar to bar. It should say what is similar to this. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. Elamai Domel is that. What is similar to this? Similar to case of bar is Avna Sakin and Maso, Shenichim Rishus Harabim, Veziko. That what's similar to a case of bar is where you have an Evan Sakin and Maso that you leave in Rishus Harabim and they damage. Lefikach, the Brisa continues, therefore, Metiach Tsuchiso Be'Evan, Chayev. If he has his pitcher, his flask, and it bangs itself against a stone, he's chayev for that. So the Gemara asks, this price is interesting. Reisha kasha l'Rav, v'seifa kasha l'Shmuel. That the Reisha is a kasha according to Rav because it compares Evan Sakin and Maso to a case of bar. And Evan Sakin and Maso is like the case where he leaves his knapsack in the Rishus HaRabim, and Rav told us that that's a case of shor, not a case of bar. The safe akasha is Shmuel. The safe is akasha according to Shmuel, because it says if a guy's walking and his flask smashes against the rock and breaks, that he's chayav. According to Shmuel, it should be shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim. It should be pater. So the Gemara says, well, 1 second. Before you ask on Rav and Shmuel, you're going to have a problem anyway. You should ask the Brice itself, seems to be a stira, because Reisha pater. The Reisha says you're pater when kelim get damaged. And the Seifa Chayev, and the Seifa says you're Chayev when the flask bangs against the rock and the owner of the rock has to pay. So Ella, Rav Matar Tzotameh, Shmuel Matar Tzotameh. Either way, we're going to have to re-explain this price, and we're going to explain as follows. Rav, we said, was a kasha on him because it said Evan, Sakin, and Masai are similar to Bar. He says they're from Shor. Rav Matar Tzotameh, but Ma'adbar Mamur and Keshev Kiran. That he's saying the price is telling us when is that true that you're Chayev for Evan, Sakin, and Masai for your knapsack is where you're Mafgrid, because then it's like a prototypical case of Bar. Of a low ifkirim, but if you would not be mafker them, chayev. You would be chayev. Lefikach, an example of that is hitiach tzuchuso be'evan chayev. That if he blings his flask against the stone, he's chayev. Because since the guy put the stone there, and he was not mafker it, he's chayev even on kalim, because it's a case of shor, not a case of bar. So Rav will explain that the resha, which says pater, is talking about where you're mafkarit. The sefer that says chayiv is where you're not mafkarit. Shmuel matar zotame. Shmuel says, according to his reason, hashda da amrin avnas sakinu masai kiboro dami. Once you're telling me that Avin Sakino Masai is Kibor, which is consistent with Shmuel, so that's the ratio says, Avin Sakino Masai, you're Chayev. That's like Shmuel, that's Shmuel's halacha, that's a case of bar. But he says, but once you say that, Rabbi Yehuda, the Machayev on this Kekalim of a bar, that Rabbi Yehuda, who we're going to see later in Baba Kama, holds that you are Chayev for Kalim, Lefika Chetif Tzolchus HaBe'Evin Chayev. Therefore, if you bang your flask against the stone, you're chayev. Why? Because it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Shmuel will also answer the Reisha, which says, Evan Sakan HaMasai is like bar, is my opinion. The Sefer that says you're chayev for something getting damaged in a stone that someone put in Rishis HaRabim is, even though it's a case of bar, it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you're chayev. I'm sorry for running over. But we'll pick up tomorrow.